What's good, everyone? Matt here from UK Nets fans, and I'm joined, as ever, by Aidan McConaughey for another episode of BK to UK, the British Brooklyn Nets podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 5th of September, and we are chatting about the latest interview with Ben Simmons, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson tearing it up for Team USA, and another new net in Harry Giles III. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at UK Nets fans, and check us out on YouTube where you can catch us live and look back at all the episodes. But with that out of the way, let's get into it. And we thought we'd start this episode on a bit of a sad note, really. Yesterday, the news came out that Nets superfan Judy Resnick, known belovedly as Mrs. Whammy, has sadly passed away, aged 87 on Sunday. She and her husband, Mr. Whammy, have been probably the most iconic Nets fans that there are for the last 25 years. Courtside at every game, handwritten notes to the players, lots of love and support for returning Nets coming through. Tributes have been pouring in from sort of, I think every Nets fan must have said their piece, but they've also come in from officials and players like Joe Tsai, Spencer Dinwiddie and Mikal Bridges. Always really hard, and it was weird for me because obviously we never met, and you know, we're half the world away over in the UK, but like, yeah, what did you think when you first heard?
Yeah, a massive shock, just really sad news. I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. It really is hard to imagine Nets games without the Whammies. Obviously, thoughts go to all their family and friends. You can just see the outpour of condolence messages that came across from Nets World and further afield, even other teams' fans were kind of coming out to say things like, just because they are so recognisable. I saw something that Nets Daily said on Twitter about them, obviously creating that family feel around Barclays Center. And that is the way it is. It's like we've had so many players, coaches and owners over the last 25 years who have came and gone. And there's been some real times, especially recently, where the club has kind of struggled to hold on to that identity of Brooklyn. But obviously having the Whammies there always kind of felt that it was a family feeling around the Barclays Centre, seeing them at the start of games, walking around, always making time for everyone to get photographs and things. So yeah, it was really sad to find out about Mrs. Whammy. Huge love to Mr. Whammy. I'm sure it's a really, really hard time, and hopefully we'll see him back at the Barclays Centre at some point this year.
That's right. I think they'd obviously... he'll obviously be given a massive ovation by Nets fans and the Nets organization themselves. It always felt like Mr. Whammy was the one sort of that was really relishing in his role as the super fan. But I know that Mrs. Whammy was, you know, you don't go to Nets games for 25 years if you're not into it as well. There has to be some sort of tribute from the Nets. You know, do you reckon that takes in form of like a video or an announcement, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some form of memorial video on opening night, even if it's just a displayed message on the Jumbotron. I did see Doug, who's obviously a close friend of the Resnicks, put on Twitter that I think Mr. Whammy is already thinking of ideas, which is nice to hear that he's getting involved with that. And he was saying things like potentially a plaque on our seat. Obviously, they've sat in those seats for years, which would be really, really nice to have something like that. He was even talking about a potential jersey retirement, which I thought was quite fun. So I'm sure the Nets will do something. It would be very strange for them not to do anything. I definitely think they'll get involved and hopefully pay tribute in a huge way.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds great. And yeah, just echoing your sentiments, like love to the family and all that kind of stuff. It's always horrible, but, you know, such is life. Moving on to other Nets news from that. It's always hard to move on from that kind of stuff. But the biggest story in Nets world from the last couple of weeks, obviously we've spent a couple of weeks off, was a big interview with Ben Simmons talking to Mark J. Spears. And Ben's back, baby. I'm saying it. I'm all in on the Ben train. He spoke with Mark Spears. It was one of those rare, super long interviews, but he's excited. He's better than he was before. His mental and physical health is all good, proving his critics wrong. And one of the quotes from the piece is, "I feel I'm at 100% now. Right now, I'm just building back to where I'm playing. I haven't played in a while, just taking hits and getting my body used to that. For me to come back and dominate people will be great." Love that. "I don't intend to come back as the same player I was last season because that's not even close to where I am. I get excited because I'm like, damn, I would, naughty word, all over that player I was last year. But I know where I was last year, so it's easy to say that. But it's just fun to go out and do the thing that you love when you're out there. That's really it for me. I don't ask for too much." So super gassed. I love that he's talking about that he loves basketball, because there are plenty of people saying that, you know, he's collecting a check and, you know, he's, you know, soft and doesn't come in and doesn't sort of put himself out there. But he says he loves the game, says he's physically and mentally right. And that kind of the people that are kind of writing him off has kind of spurred him on to perform better. So what did you read? Obviously you read the interview, but what did you think when it came out?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. He's speaking like a real competitor there. He's speaking like some of the elite guys kind of say stuff like that. Like, I'm thinking back to obviously Michael Jordan and LeBron James, where they can critique themselves and they hold themselves in such high regard. And I don't think either of those guys have had a season as bad as what Ben had last year. But I like that he's recognising the fact that he wasn't at a level where he should be last year. And maybe it should have been the case that Ben didn't play at all last season. He should have just taken the whole time off to recover. But he recognises he clearly wanted to go out there. I mean, I think there was probably a chance where he didn't have to play at all last year, but he wanted to be out there. And I think that's something that's forgotten about. But yeah, just that quote that you just read out there in full, is it has to get you excited about Ben Simmons, just because he's saying all the right things. And I know it's one thing to obviously say it and then another to do it, but he is saying all the right things. And that's something that we didn't see from Ben Simmons at the start of last season. He was very quiet, but yeah, he came out just speaking like a real competitor. And from kind of other names around the league that have seen Ben Simmons this summer, or have heard from people who have seen Ben this year, he's apparently the real deal. So I think we can get excited.
I love that. Like, it's almost a meme. Well, it's a meme at this point, where we get to that part of the summer where Ben Simmons is dropping insane mixtapes of him working out, baby oiled up, just glistening in sweat, and he's sort of draining middies and back to his old self. But maybe it's because I'm a Nets fan and he's a Net now, and we're on the precipice of something great. But yeah, I'm all in. I think he's coming all the way back. We've got some listener questions coming up later on about him. But one extra thing he said in his piece was that he confirmed that he will be playing as a point guard this year, and states this was communicated with Coach Vaughn. So how comfortable are you with Ben playing the one? Obviously, Spencer Dinwiddie came back last season and did a creditable job. But what do you think about giving the keys to Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of happy Nets fans that Spencer Dinwiddie won't be the starting point guard this year. I love Spencer. I'm talking about other people, but there wasn't many people that were too happy with him taking the reins last season. But I hate the idea of Ben when he was used as center last year. It just felt at times that he was just shoved in there because it's like, let's keep you out of the way. You're a big guy, we'll put you there, which just really was a shame on him really at times. But he obviously wasn't 100%, but playing out of position really didn't help at all. And we've seen the best of Ben Simmons' career when he's a point guard at Philadelphia. He is an elite creator. He's a fantastic defensive presence. And to have that against, obviously, in a league in the Steph Curry era where there's so many talented point guards and shooting guards. Why would you not want someone like Ben Simmons up against that? It's potentially the best answer you can get around the league. Yeah, I think you need to play with point guard. Even though he can't shoot, I think obviously it's such a massive thing that teams want their point guard to be able to create their own shot. He's not going to do it, and we just need to accept that. But we're at a stage now where we need to make sure we're taking every single talent that we have this year and using it to our advantage, because we don't have a Kevin Durant, we don't have a Kyrie Irving on this team this year. We need to make sure that these guys are getting played in their best position. And the best way to do that is having Ben Simmons at the one and let him play through his mistakes. Let him play through his mistakes early on, because I'm very aware that he's not going to come back and be firing all cylinders to start with. He's probably going to take a bit of time. But yeah, play him in his natural position and just let's see what he can do. I think that's the best thing for everyone. Because at the end of the day, Ben Simmons is more of a potential future starting player for this team than Spencer Dinwiddie is. And that's not to say that Dinwiddie's not going to be a huge part of this team next year. I'm fully aware that he's probably going to, if not start, he's going to be a sixth man. But give the keys to Ben and see what he can do.
Absolutely. I mean, just back at Spencer Dinwiddie's time in Dallas, obviously that was Luka's team. He slotted over to the shooting guard. So in the 53 games he played for Dallas, where he started all 53, he was the two guard. He was shooting, just to pick out, three-point shooting. He was at 40.5% from three, on a higher volume of threes than he shot at Brooklyn. He was attempting 6.4. So that's tons of volume for free. And he was shooting them at a ridiculous clip, and he was still getting more than five assists a game from the two guard spot. So obviously it helps playing alongside Luka Doncic, and you can get him to in his spots and stuff. But yeah, I don't think it's not like he's usurped Spencer Dinwiddie out of his position and stuff. It'll just be going back to where he probably found a bit more success anyway. Obviously, we know Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, but, you know, he's going to have, as I say, Dinwiddie around him. We've lost our shooters, quote-unquote shooters, in Joe Harris and Patty Mills and stuff. But, you know, we've got the likes of Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, who can work around on the wing as well. And if he establishes any kind of relationship with Nick Claxton, where he can do pick and rolls or just hit him up for alley-oops or just kind of do some give and go so Ben can use all that athleticism to get to the cup, then I think that's a pretty well-rounded offensive lineup as well, even though we've got a couple of non-shooters in there. In Simmons and in Claxton. So I am more than happy with Simmons taking the one because, yeah, I think we've got a ton of athletes as well. I think we're going to be running and gunning, I think, a bit. And I think Ben Simmons is going to really, really just be the perfect sort of point guard to be kind of facilitating that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think are we right to kind of be – all, how right am I to be all in, or is there kind of, how big is that piece of salt that we're taking with it?
I don't know. Obviously, we've talked about Ben a ton since we came back, and no wonder it's the biggest topic. Will he, won't he kind of thing. But yeah, I think now we're starting to kind of be backed up by fact, which is quite nice, because we were told by Sean Marks the goal was to have Ben back at the start of September, playing 5-on-5 before going into training camp. And he came back to Brooklyn, I think, on the 1st of September. And as far as I'm aware, he's back playing full drills. And that's what we need. It's nice to hear the words Ben Simmons and on track, because we've not had that since he's been here. So, I think we're now starting to get to a stage where we've got some facts to back up the stuff that we've been hearing. I think I'm a bit more confident than I was a few days ago.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm so all in. Moving away from Ben Simmons, and there is sort of Nets basketball happening at the moment. There are Nets who are playing competitive basketball at the moment. The Twins, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, and their Team USA roster mates have reached the World Cup semi-finals, so they are one step closer to being World Cup champions, not world champions, World Cup champions. But as we record on Tuesday, Mikal Bridges has just had the game of his tournament so far, leading Team USA to a 163 victory to kind of, as we say, secure that final four spot. He led all scorers with an outstanding 24 points on 73%, as well as chipping in 7 rebounds. But Cam Johnson was there too, clapping, you know, giving moral support. He, you know, he chipped in with his 0 points and 0 assists and 0 rebounds. But 10 minutes, you know, he led team in high fives and rounds of applause. And come on, go do it. So, I mean, I'm always super worried about injury. Whenever anyone from my squad plays anywhere that's not for my team, I am petrified. But, you know, what? I'm not sure how much FIBA you've been watching, but what have you made of the Twins and their performance within this kind of USA team?
Yeah, I think you're right to be worried about injuries and stuff like that. I mean, we're from Europe. We know how basketball's played in Europe. They are pretty rough in some areas. So especially going up against teams like Italy and a lot of the like kind of the bigger European teams, they can be quite aggressive. But yeah, they seem to be getting on okay. Yeah, it was a great performance from Mikal Bridges today. I did watch it. It's nice for us because we can get a lot of these games at 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, which Perfect. Is a nice change. but it's been interesting. It's been strange watching Bridges and Johnston because it's almost as if they're playing like they're back in Phoenix, because Bridges is probably the third or fourth option in that team. Cam Johnston's coming off the bench. So they're kind of having to readjust their roles, and it has taken a bit of time for Bridges especially to get into that role again, because obviously I think everyone can agree this is Anthony Edwards' his team. He's just been absolutely outstanding, and then you've got guys like Brandon Ingram and Halliburton as well. But yeah, I really enjoyed the game today especially. I found it funny that Mikal Bridges got a tech for doing his 3-point celebration. And then I noticed at one point, I don't know if it got picked up, but one of the officials went over to the official that gave him the tech and must have went, that's his celebration after he does a 3. And then he kept doing it afterwards and he didn't get techs after that. So that gave me a chuckle. But yeah, I think especially after this game, it gave me a lot of confidence that Bridges is still on that complete high level that we saw from him at the end of last season. His shot's still looking really smooth. He looks really active defensively and has shown an aggression when driving, which maybe we didn't see as much, which is maybe something that he's worked on. So that's exciting. As you mentioned, Cam Johnston hasn't really had a huge role in this team. He's played, but hasn't really kind of been getting the minutes we'd originally hoped for after those warm-up games where he was starting. But you have to think it's still just a great experience for him, and he'll probably be happy moving back into that starting role come October. He's probably missed having the ball in his hands a bit more than he has there. But it looks like they're probably going to go on and win it now, which is obviously great for the two guys. But yeah, I think if anything, it's a great experience for them. And as long as they come back in one piece, we'll both be happy.
Yeah, for sure. Just looking at the stats for both Bridges and Johnson. So in Bridges' first game against New Zealand, he scored 7 points in 19 minutes. And in every game, he's kind of just ticking up. So it feels like he's really growing into the tournament. So 7 points in the first game, 9 in the second two games, then 10 points, then 24, then 14 points. And then he's exploded again for 24 points. And his efficiency is off the charts as well. He's even, you know, averaged a block and a half over the last couple of games, as well as a steal and a half. So, you know, we know all about his sort of defensive capabilities as well. So not only is he putting up numbers, he's getting it done. Whereas Cameron Johnson, I think, is kind of, not shrinking, but he's got that kind of opposite trajectory where he sort of started off. He started really well. He started off with 2 points, then 8 points, and then he kind of just dwindled and like you say, just that absolute duck egg of a stat line against Italy today. But yeah, the same as you, I think obviously any success is really cool. Iron sharpens iron if you've got your players playing high level basketball on the off season. I think that's possibly the best training camp that there is, you know, in terms of conditioning wise and all that kind of stuff. We know that Bridges is an Iron Man, so yeah, it'll be all good. So long may it continue. Other exciting news that we have come to that has happened while we've been away, schedule release day. We had a Twitter thread of bagels in opposition team logos, which was a lot of fun by the Nets social media team. As a social media manager myself, I can appreciate that. And I'm always one to shout out social media teams. So good work for that. However, the actual start to the season itself is, we're not mucking about. We're getting straight into it. We're going to go through the first 10 games and we see the Cavs, the Mavs, the Hornets, the Heat, the Bulls, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Celtics again, and the Wizards. So it's pretty much straight in at the deep end for this Nets team. Obviously, a couple of those are going to be for the newfangled in-season tournament, which I'm all in for. I know the kind of Nets Twitter that I've seen most has been American fans, but that don't really they don't understand it, but they don't really appreciate how good an in-season tournament can be. We're European, football is the prevalent sport around here, so we get, there's multiple sort of competitions going wrong at any given season. But back to the schedule, what did you make of the kind of murderer's row of teams that we're going to face first, and how do you think we're going to get on?
Yeah, I mean, it was typical. We were kind of doing a few podcasts where we were waiting for the schedule to get released for ages, and then I go away to Tenerife and it gets dropped the day I arrive. So yeah, we're a wee bit behind on this. This is a bit slow sports news from us, but yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. That first 10 games is a tough one. It's a bit of a baptism of fire. Some really tough games, but at the end of the day, you have to play everyone at some point, so you might as well play the tougher games early while everyone's a bit healthier. So I think I'm going to go extremely realistic and say the Nets are going to go 4-6 at a push 5-5 to start the season. I think we should be winning against teams like the Hornets, Wizards and Bulls. Just with the kind of feistiness of the Nets team, you hope that they do pick up another win or two elsewhere. I'm looking at that Mavs game, and there's going to be so much attention around that, obviously, with Kyrie. But I'm hoping that this team can just get past the drama and grind out a result. I think there's a lot of games there where the Nets could pull out a surprise result. And I think we could probably beat anyone there, which is the fun thing about this team. There's no one there where I'm like, that's a sure thing loss.
Scheduled L, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're at that stage. I think we've got a good enough team where we can pick up wins on the right nights. But I think just with the way things are, especially with them integrating Ben Simmons back in, 4 wins would be a decent target. And then I think about the 20 to 30 game mark, we've kind of got a bit of a kind run. And that's where you want us to get back up to say 500. So yeah, I think I'll go 4 wins. I think that's as realistic as I can go.
That makes me feel a bit better. I had a look. I went 3-7. Just like you, I reckon we'll do the Hornets and the Bulls and the Cavs. I think we're going to have a lot. I didn't write down whether or not these are home and away or what the kind of schedule is or back to backs and all that kind of stuff, notwithstanding. But like you say, at the moment, until we see this team and how they play and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to really judge. But I know it's going to be, that the results we do get are going to be well-earned, I think. But like you say, whether you play these people first sort of couple of weeks of the season or the last couple of weeks of the season really doesn't matter. But it's just good to see. the schedule get released, I saw Discord popping off with people sort of booking travel and hoping to go and see people and all this kind of stuff, which is always a bit of fun as an overseas fan. But yeah, exciting, man. Exciting times. And talking of seeing how this Nets team gel together, we've got another new net. And I'm going to do this for you, mate. You called this.
Yeah.
I don't know how many pods ago it was, but finally, Harry Styles, I mean, Harry Giles, is a Net. Latest Net to join us. 1 year vet minimum, 25 years old, 6'11 big, was actually drafted 20th in the 2017 draft. And there's just been tons of Nets chat around this guy since then. But I'll hand this over to you because you I'm going to let you bask in your glory for calling your shot.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a weird one. A lot of media were reporting at the time that Giles was obviously having an open workout and the Nets were listed as one of the teams that was there. But I'm sure there was about 20, 25 staffers from different teams around the league at this open workout. And that was about a month ago, so it was a wee while back now. But Harry Giles has been a name that was linked with the Nets right back to that 2017 draft. You just need to go on Nets Daily and search his name and you'll see all the different articles about the Nets having Giles on their board as their target. But unfortunately, he ended up going, I think, two spots higher, despite the fact he had an agreement with the Nets that they were going to pick him. So quite interesting that there's that link back there. I tell you what, I was really surprised he ended up getting the vet minimum over a two-way contract. He must have impressed at that open practice that the Nets attended. So I like the move. I think it's another low-risk, high-reward. We've kind of got three or four of those guys, and you just have to hope that one or two pay off. Certainly an interesting one. He's obviously been out of the league for a while now. He last played in Portland in 2020-21 season, which you can say that was only 2 years ago, but that's a long time in the NBA. We know that. So we'll wait and see what we get. There has been some interesting things said about Harry Giles from different guys around the media over the last couple of weeks. So maybe he can come in and do a job. He's only 25 years old, which is... it's crazy considering he was drafted back in 2017, but he's still a young enough guy that he can come in and grow. So 6'11", that's always music to our ears, though, isn't it? Just anyone over 6'7" that signs for the Nets is just a blessing, really. So no, that I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm not going to guess where he's going to be. I think this rotation that we'll have this year will surprise a few people. I can't really see past the five or six mark as to who definitely gets in there. I think there's certainly people there that can compete for minutes, and it's going to be a really competitive preseason, which is nice because we want our guys coming in after being challenged in the preseason. And I think that's what we're going to get with some of these guys that we've got in there.
Love it. Yeah. We just looking back at the 2017 draft and Harry Styles going two places higher than anticipated, as you quite rightly said. But we ended up going with a guy called Jarrett Allen, which worked out all right for Brooklyn.
Who's had the better career, really,
in the end. So, yeah, so hopefully he still lives up to what we saw then. And, yeah, 6'11", mate. You can't teach that. You can't train to be 6'11". So hopefully he's got that mobility and he can do us a job, get some rebounds and all that kind of good stuff. He's had in very, very limited time, he's had some decent shooting numbers as well. So we shall see. That's all we had planned, but we throw it over to listener questions. First one has come in the live chat. So big up Akmal, who asked me what jersey I'm wearing today. And it is old school J Kid Nets from the trip to the final days. On Discord, Ollie says, if you could add one player under the age of 25 to this squad, who are you taking and why? I thought the very easy answer would be Luka Doncic, because why would you not take Luka Doncic? But I've also got a couple of honourable mentions in Anthony Edwards, who's been tearing it up for Team USA. bit. I've got Jason Tatum, SGA, and the man we were just speaking about, Jarrett Allen. That's my kind of, I've done like a Mount Rushmore of young Bucks that I got. Ja Morant would have been in there before he seemingly just got addicted to firearms. So that's something that's a bit of a shame. But are there any other kind of sort of names in there that you'd pop for?
No, I think you've covered it. I can't see past Luka Doncic. There's part of me that thinks he will always be a Brooklyn Net, and I don't know where this link is, but for me, Luka will one day play for the Nets, I'll never see past him if there's an opportunity to get him.
I mean, I could say Tyler Herro, but we've had enough. We had so much Tyler Herro chat over the last since
that's
we came
died
back.
To death, isn't it?
It's all done. Big up Ramon Castro in the chat as well. UK Nets fans live stream and NBA Today come back on the same day. Feels like Christmas. We love you, man. Thank you, brother. Back to listener questions. Twitter, what would you give up to get your picks back, or do you not really want them back? That's from Ollie, who, full disclosure, Ollie is a Rockets fan. So I'm going to confess, I don't really know what's going on with our Nets. Like, look, keeping track of Nets picks is like a full-time job. We've got this year's first and second round picks are both going out to Houston. Next year, we've also got a first round and a second round pick going out. One, the first round pick to Houston, second to the Knicks. We've also got 26, 27 going first round picks to Houston and a second round pick and 27 going out as well. However, nothing in the 2024 draft, so we're just not, doesn't matter for us at all unless we trade there. First round pick we're getting in from Phoenix, and the second round pick we're getting in from Miami for 2025. So 2026 we've got our own second round pick, which is nice. So we still got bits and bobs. You know, we've only got first round picks between here and 2027, which is not ideal. But yeah, I don't know if you're the same, but I never get too worried about draft picks because it's all just potential. It's all maybe stuff that will possibly work out. Obviously, if you can get a Victor Wembanyama, then that's great. But you know, we don't often get generational players through the draft, and obviously, you do want to kind of have those draft picks in, and you want to draft your team as best you can and develop people. But it's so variable, I just can't keep up with, you know, which picks are the most valuable and all this kind of stuff. You're a lot cleverer than me, and you do this a lot. and you keep up with it a lot better than me. So what do you think?
I think Ollie needs to retract his question because we're never trading with Houston ever again. And what more can they want for us? They've already gutted our picks for the next, the last 2 years and the next 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, I don't think I can even put together a trade that they would accept just to get our picks back. I mean, let's think about it. We're probably going to be at a stage now where our picks aren't going to be tremendously great now. I know people say that we're nowhere near as good as what we were. We're probably still a middle of the pack team where you're sitting at the 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 mark. Why? It's not even that attractive a pick in that area. And at the end of the day, if we were to trade back our picks, we'd probably have to give up Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, and we're going to be terrible again. So do you want to be terrible and have our picks back and we could draft some guys that aren't even that great? Or do you want to just keep building what we have? I don't want our picks back. They're done. I think that needs to be something that's done more in Nets world. It's not done enough. We've traded the picks. Let's stop talking about it. It's done. You know, James Harden's game. He's gone. We've traded these picks. We had a go. It didn't work. Let's just forget about them and let's just grow with what we've got. There's no point moaning over trades that happened like 2 or 3 years ago because they can't get changed now. So, yeah, I'm not bothered about getting our picks back. And the talk that people had in the summer before the draft to kind of put Bridges to Houston was, for me, just idiotic, because at the end of the day, we don't know. We know Mikal Bridges is going to be a good player, future all-star. So let's just grow with that and put those picks behind us.
Nice. So yeah, grow up, Ollie. Which player do you think is going to improve most next season? That's from Ben on Twitter. I'll let you take that one first.
Yeah, I think the easy answer would be Ben Simmons, but I'm going to say Cam Thomas. I'm really, really high on Cam Thomas, and it's strange because we got to the end of last season, and if I had to put money on a net that was going to get traded after Joe Harris, it was probably going to be Cam Thomas. I just felt there wasn't a place for him in this team, but there's been a few reporters, and I don't have them to hand, so I could be speaking nonsense, that have came out and said that he is putting in so much work this summer to try and improve his game, to kind of adjust to getting minutes in this Nets team. And we've said it before, Cam Thomas isn't far away from being a starter on an NBA team. He just needs to tighten up some things. He doesn't even need to be really, really good at the other things other than scoring. He just needs to be passable, like mediocre. If he can get to that stage, then I think he's got a big future ahead of him. And I do think this season he's going to be the surprise who's going to come in and give us some really good minutes. We know he can score. But yeah, I always just put a message in there saying, where are we? Do we think Kanti actually gets minutes? I think he does. I think he would have been traded otherwise. That's my opinion. I think it was either a case that they were going to move him on for something. I think they could have probably got a couple of second round picks at a minimum for him. But I think the fact that he's not been traded says a lot. And I think Cam's going to come in and have a really good year. What do you think?
Yeah, that would have been my answer too. I think going to Ollie's question is, do you think he gets minutes? I think we said this in a previous pod, but it is so on the coaching team to have a guy of Cam Thomas's obvious talents and not be able to find a way to play him. Yeah. He's so good offensively. He's not so bad defensively that he is unplayable, and you can't, but that negates his, 40 points a game sort of performances that he did back to back to back. I think in an interview, he said, if you were given consistent minutes, if you were a starter, how many points a night could you get average? And he was like 25, easy. So I love that confidence. I just hope. Now that we are in a different place as a roster, and we're going to be, I think it feels like our playbook's, while we were in the kind of KD Kyrie era, our playbook was, 50% ISO ball for those two. So now that they aren't here anymore and we're going to be playing a little bit more of a different style of basketball, I think that does open us up for, I think just for Jacques Vaughn to be a bit more creative and a bit more sort of using his tactical nous to get Cam involved. So hopefully a big, big step up. But I think I really want to kind of see which one of this kind of new crop of Nets is going to come through as well, because it feels like we've got quite a lot of quite samey players. So it feels like one of those, with all the challenges and all the competition between spot roster spots and stuff, it feels like one of them could really, really take a leap forward. So it'll be fun to see. And yeah, I can't wait. And just to bring us back full circle, what is the ceiling for Ben Simmons? I'm gonna leave it to one word, because we've gone through this quite a lot. But give me, I'm gonna say, what is the ceiling for Ben Simmons this season? All star. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think Ben Simmons. Yeah, you're right. His ceiling is all star, and I think the reason that he is all star, he could be potentially an all star if he does come back. What he is, I don't think he will be. Bear in mind, this is the highest level that he could potentially be. Is he could be an all star based on the sheer shock of people seeing how well he's came back. The media pay attention, they love a story, and it's down to one man, it's down to Ben Simmons to get that narrative changed. And despite the fact he says that it's all noise, I think it actually plays a big factor on Ben. I think it does affect him. He's obviously mentioned that interview that we talked about earlier, that he wants to change that narrative, he wants to prove everyone wrong. So yeah, I definitely think there's a narrative there for him to get kind of be borderline all-star. But yeah, we've said it before, we just want a realistic Ben Simmons to come back, pass the ball well, be a defensive presence, and be able to get to the rim. If he does that, will be happy.
Love that. And I don't think that's too much to ask.
Nah.
Not at all. Right, Aiden, a pleasure as always. And thanks to you guys for listening. That'll do us for another episode. We'll see you back next week. But yeah, thanks for watching.